Calling the meeting back to order. I feel like my chair's lower today. I feel shorter than normal. I don't need to be shorter. I'm already getting older this week. My birthday's Saturday. Thank you. Turning 58. It's a good number.
That's young.
58. It's a cool number. Okay, we are going to move to our voluntold section, Pledge of Allegiance. And a little birdie today told me that Emily Weinbrenner wanted to do the Pledge of Allegiance today. Let's encourage Emily to come on down. Let's give her a round of applause. I'll tell you who later.
I might have a guess. Thank you. So we can turn and look at the flag. Please stand. So place your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you so much.
Wonderfully done. It's a very good choice. Okay, moving on to Section D, adoption of the agenda. Seeking a motion.
I move.
A second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to E, recognitions and presentations. E1. She won nothing. Oh, that's me. E1, establishment of Student Outreach and Academic Renaissance Academy as the new alternative school of choice within the Ontario Montclair School District at the start of the 2025-2026 school year, as presented by our very own Dr. Alana Hughes-Hunter, Assistant Superintendent of the SELPA and Equity.
Good evening, Madam President, Board of Trustees, Superintendent Hammond, colleagues, cabinet, and distinguished guests. It's with great pride and enthusiasm that I share with you the proposal for our 34th school and our third alternative school of choice in Ontario Montclair School District. Today with me, I have two of our esteemed colleagues from our administrative leadership team, Dr. Alicia Tuttle and Emily Weinbrenner, who will help us in our presentation today.
Thank you, Dr. Hughes-Hunter. There we go. So as many of you know, OMSD has been fortunate enough to have the SOAR program since 2009, when it was initially established under the leadership of Dr. Macias and other colleagues. And the overall focus of the program, the new SOAR program, will remain the same, which is to support students who learn best in non-traditional settings. So by reconfiguring SOAR Academy School, we'll be able to expand our outreach to students in grades 4th through 8th, although initially we will start with students in grades 6 through 8. This gradual expansion, it will allow us to effectively establish systems and resources and supports in order to fine-tune the program so that we can best support our students before we prepare to take on the fourth, fifth graders. Due to the rapidly changing landscape and the current dynamics of the education system, we feel like it's important to our students in OMSD as well as to the OMSD community to sort of pay tribute to our hard work and adopt the SOAR program as an alternative school of choice effective July 1st, 2025. Thank you. So in terms of where we are today and why we're here today, we know that there is a significant increase in the incidence of students who display extremely challenging behaviors in the classroom, and this has resulted in more increased referrals to our community day schools and to our non-public schools. We also know, as hard as our teachers, our classroom staff, and our site admin try, sometimes despite those tier one and tier two supports, MTSS supports being provided in a gen ed setting, sometimes those aren't enough. And then we do need to refer them to other placements where they can get more therapeutic support and specialized academic instruction, which are non-public schools and community day schools. However, given the uptick and sort of given the need and our commitment to our students, this also creates a new opportunity for more local alternatives where we can keep our students in the community in OMSD programs where they can still get the same level of support. It's also a benefit that it's a reduced cost as opposed to out-of-district placements. So thus, the development of an alternative school of choice.
All right, so the benefits of having an alternative, I can speak, I promise, school of choice in OMSD is that decrease in suspensions for disruptive behaviors. So if you have a school site that's gone through their PBIS tiers, they've tier one is universal for everyone. They've gone through tier two. Their kiddo's on a tier three. They have a behavior support plan. Nothing's working. Well, then this program is right for them because we offer that wraparound support for them. They'll be still in that least restrictive environment. They'll be in our district in one of our schools receiving that higher tiered support that they need that the school maybe doesn't have the tools to help them with. And then in the program, they'll be rehabilitated. We'll be working with them, giving them those tools so that they can go back to their school, so that it's not a death sentence for them. They will learn how to manage whatever those behaviors are that sent them to the program so that they'll be successful back at their school or another school in the district. There will be a decrease in disruption of instruction because the students will have a safe place to go where they can get those tools and learn so that when they go back, they're not exhibiting those disruptive behaviors. They will continue to have access to those extracurricular activities and co-curricular activities. They'll be involved in the classroom. One of our teachers right now is working on bringing a muralist in so that the kiddos can work on a SOAR mural and we can paint one of our SOAR walls. It would be really incredible for them. A lot of them have a lot of artistic talent from who we have in there right now. So the program overview and partnerships, so it's that inclusive learning environment, that whole child approach. So we meet every 6 weeks so far, and we look at every student and see what they need and what tools they need to be successful so that they can work through their goals in the program and then go back to their school site. Those real-world learning experiences, they need to learn that there's a bigger world outside some of those behaviors that they were having. We just went on a field trip, and there'll be a slide in a minute to show you. But we went to the Carpenters Union, and the students were so excited to learn that union carpenters make $81 an hour. I didn't know that. The teachers were all like, hey, we're in the wrong field, right? $81 an hour, that's a lot of money. But what we're trying to show the students is that there is a bigger picture than maybe the little tiny viewpoint they have of life right now, unfortunately, in their community. So we want them to see there's something to work towards. And we have that customized curriculum design. Each student gets what they need. So if you have a student that is, and we do have some that are like GATE students, they're really high, they're going to be getting instruction at that level. If we have students who are really low, we have one student right now who's working on phonics because that's what he needs. So we're able with a small class size to tailor the academics to what they need. We're able to tailor behavior and social emotional learning to what they need as well. Our students are in there all for different reasons. We have like little pockets of kids who are in there for the same thing, but mostly for different reasons. And so we're able to tailor to each of them what they need to work on to be rehabilitated or to figure out how to survive back on a normal campus and be successful. So some of the partners we work with, Promise Scholars has been amazing. They have committed to take us on a field trip a month. We've gone on two with them so far. We went to the Carpenters Union last week, and then just Wednesday, we went to Amazon. And if you've not gone on an Amazon field trip, it was amazing. They got to see all the robots, see how they lift the packages. Now I can see why our packages get to us so quickly. At the end, there was a question and answer session with the kids, and they were asking questions like, is there maternity leave? And I'm like, why are kids thinking about that? But they're thinking ahead. And so we're helping the students realize what they can do, maybe without going to college. Maybe this is something they want to do when they're done with school. So we're planting those seeds so that they can be successful as they move on. Health and Wellness Services, amazing support to us. Every other week, interns come in and work with our students on the skills that they need to be successful to exit the program. And so that's been incredible to see as well. So I mentioned Amazon, the Carpenters Union. We'll also have partnerships with Ontario Airport, Universal Technical Institute, and we're working on others too. One of the teachers in the program was a former beauty school teacher, and so she's looking to get us a tour there so that our students can see that avenue as well. Oh, and here's the picture. This is from the Carpenters Union. It was really neat to see. You go in behind the scenes, and they're building the framing for houses, and they were doing welding. It was a little scary with the sparks flying everywhere, but our kids really enjoyed it, and it really did plant those seeds with them that there are jobs for them that they can have when they graduate high school.
Thank you. So finally, kind of our timeline and where what we have done to get us here today. So in January, we began our pilot classrooms. So we moved the one classroom over from De Anza to Wiltsy. And then we also added a second classroom staffed with an education specialist and also an RBT. In February, we identified a name as well as the mascot, the Falcons. We also had multiple interdepartmental meetings with various departments, which, as Dr. Tuttle said, have been hugely instrumental and really helpful in helping to sort of develop the programs and the supports and get things going. In March, we stand here today seeking your approval from the Board of Trustees in order for us to be able to submit an application to CDE to give us our own CDS code in order to establish SOAR Academy School as its own alternative school of choice. Between April and August, we will continue with all of the many logistical planning pieces that go along with it, everything from getting the supplies to getting the signage, to getting the building painted, the intake packets put together, continuing with our partnerships, training our staff, getting our classrooms ready to go for August 6th of 2025. We'll also continue to try to fill the open positions because we hope to add two additional classrooms as well come next school year. So we would have a total of four classrooms for next school year. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you. Let's go ahead and start at my far left with Trustee Galvez. Do you have any questions or comments?
This is an excellent presentation. We've been following along with this, and this has just been an amazing thing for our kids and just everything that we are here at OMSD. And then my question was actually answered because I was looking for capacity, and you're saying that you want to go to four classes by the beginning of next instructional period, and that's great because we want to be able to keep it to a place where we can still function with all of the kids and give them all of the attention that they need because they're there for different reasons, like you said, and to have the scale of being able to keep it like that is great. So thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Sonia?
Thank you, ladies. It was a great presentation. I'm just happy that we're moving in the right direction. All our kids deserve a chance to learn in their environment and that we're not giving up on any of them. So I think this will be a great thing for our district. Thank you to all the staff that's been involved getting this program together for our kids. And I visited both locations. They're really nice. So it's exciting that our kids are able to go out there and visit as well.
Thank you, Sonia. Chris?
I just think it's a fabulous opportunity for everybody to have a place. Thank you.
Thank you. Flora?
I think I'm gonna take the mic on this one because this one I'm really, really, it's really close to my heart. And I'm gonna go ahead and say a little bit about my experience because I think it merits why I'm so happy about this program being in our community. As an advocate for 19 plus years, I've advocated for our kiddos, and sadly in various districts, I've had to go ahead and and discuss and make decisions as a team to go ahead and transfer these kids to Pasadena, Orange County, San Bernardino, and everywhere but home. When they come back, it's a culture shock. And sometimes it's so hard for them to assimilate into our community. So the fact that this is going to be home is just priceless to me. So I want to extend my gratitude to all of you, your enthusiasm, your passion. I just can't thank you enough for giving these kiddos a second opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Flora. I want to echo her sentiments. I've been on the board for a while, and I know that that's something that Dr. Hammond and I had discussed at length many times. When you come to a decision on, you know, there's a child and the alternative was to send them to county, and who wants to do that? You know, you don't want to give up on a child. You don't want to send them somewhere where it's going to be foreign. They have no connection, nothing to assimilate to. And I think this is a grand idea and project that we have that's coming to fruition. And yeah, the passion and enthusiasm that you're showing here tonight and that all of you have is just electric. We are so excited that you feel this way. And we are thrilled for the kids that they have this opportunity. So we're happy to be a part of it in supporting in any way that we can. So thank you. Thank you for having the heart and the passion and all the teachers and the classified folks that all put in on this. Because this is a huge deal for a lot of people, for a lot of families. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Hammond.
Yeah. I think it's been very well said by our trustees. Thank you, President Rivas. I think just more of a commentary on my behalf with gratitude as well to both Dr. Tuttle and Emily and Dr. Hughes-Hunter for their presentation tonight. I think going back to 2009, Dr. Macias isn't here, so got to give him a shout out. He's one of the original architects of this vision. And really because of the board's expectation, I want to thank the board for allowing staff to have the capacity to do this presentation today. We are actually 3 years ahead of schedule. If you recall, we were going to pilot this year, which we have by bringing the SOAR program from De Anza to Wiltse, and then maybe go with the satellite concept and then get to a place where we could have an actual separate school within a school model. But we're ahead of schedule because of people like Dr. Tuttle, who have a passion to work with this type of program, the passion of Emily and Dr. Hughes-Hunter. And so we have an ALC teacher represented here tonight with Mr. Wong, kind of that other bus stop before we consider a SOAR placement. So there's been a very conscientious effort by everybody to really design a meaningful alternative program that will be quality-filled, world-class, but also differentiated to meet the kids where they're at and hopefully get them to a place of acceleration. So it's everything from self-awareness, self-image, self-esteem, to academic contact, to career pathways. It's a really comprehensive vision. I want to thank Mr. Hillman for his team, because behind the scenes there's facility elements to this, there's moving portables, there's transportation schedules, there's feeding meals, and so this is a very much a comprehensive team effort. You just don't snap your fingers and say, hey, let's create a school. There's a lot of thoughtful planning and design, and like anything else, you have to have the right people. And I think with Dr. Hughes-Hunter, Dr. Tuttle, Emily, as well as Ms. Greer, and who's our SOAR teacher from
Garcia.
Mr. Garcia? I should know that. I think we're really starting with the very core element of the right people for the right program. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to E2. It's a 2024-2025 second interim financial report as presented by Phil Hillman, our chief business official.
Thank you, Madam President. Good evening, trustees, Dr. Hammond, fellow cabinet members, and guests in the audience. If I could ask Vanessa Eastland, our chief financial officer, to step up to the podium. She will assist with the presentation tonight. Tonight we'll be going through the second interim report. And if you recall, the second interim report is just that, the second full financial report that we do for the board since we've adopted the budget back in June. This requires us to do some forecasting into the future, 3 years to be specific. And when we're finished, the report will be filed with both the County Office of Education and the California Department of Education. Later tonight, the board will have an opportunity to consider the actual report. This is just the presentation on the report. This is the timeline I mentioned. We adopted the budget back in June. We did not have a 45-day revision. It was not necessary this year, but occasionally we do. We had the first interim report in December, and now in the orange box, we are in March, and this is the second interim report. We will report back to you once more with our projections for the end of the year when we close the books, and then we'll close the books after June. So as you consider the report later on, what you'll be doing is considering approving our financial statements as they sit right now. And what does that mean? It means we have to look out into the future and say, will we be fiscally solvent this year and the next 2 years? Meaning we would file a positive certification. There are some other options which are not as desirable. I won't go into those. We will be filing a positive certification, assuming the board approves it later on. Like I said, what that means is we project to be fiscally solvent this year and each of the next 2 years. And with that, I'll let Vanessa take some of the next section of detail.
Okay, thank you. So there were no major changes from our first interim budget to second interim when it relates to LCFF. Our COLA remains the same. The only change is we have updated estimates on our average daily attendance for this year. So that has been updated for second interim. And our LCFF continues to take the current COLA with any offsets to declining enrollment, which is reflected on the slide. We spend a lot of time talking about LCFF revenue because it is our largest revenue source for our budget. And there are a few factors that impact our revenue. One being COLA, which has been updated in the 25-26 and the out years based off of the current state budget projections from January. And we also updated any changes to any funded ADA and our unduplicated pupil count. And funded ADA is different than our year-over-year enrollment changes, whereas funded ADA is based off of the prior three-year averages. And so we start to see that level off in the out years as our current enrollment starts to get to where we project it to be. And I won't spend too much time on this slide, but this just shows a progression of our COLA from when it was projected back in 2021 to where it is now at the approved rate of 1.07%, which is in our current budget. And so now we'll take a look at some of the revenue highlights that impact our current year budget. There were no big changes to any of our ongoing revenue. We just made slight adjustments as new information came in for our LCFF revenue, and no new one-time revenue with the exception of the LEA Medi-Cal billing CRCF funds, which are one-time in nature, and we're getting prior year funds in the current year that are restricted in nature. So our budget has been updated to reflect those changes. And we spend a lot of time monitoring enrollment because it has a direct impact to our revenue sources in our budget. And as we can see in the current and the out years, our enrollment is starting to stabilize, which is why we're starting to see the changes in funded ADA also starting to stabilize as well. So this is something that we keep a close eye on and we adjust as new information is made available. And this slide we've seen a few times because we've received quite a bit of one-time restricted funding over the last few years, and that funding is based off of a multi-year spending plan. And we're on track to spend the funds by the spending deadline that's listed on the slide, and we've updated the available balances as of second interim, and we fully spent the ESSER fundings by the due date, and the rest we're on schedule to spend, and we'll be able to see what this looks like once we get to the restricted multi-year projections. Now looking at the expenditure side, we've adjusted our budget to reflect any changes in compensation based off of our current projections, as well as the health and welfare benefits contribution increase that is now in our second interim budget, and the one-time salary stipend is factored in our second interim budget as well. And other expenditure non-compensation items have been updated. Utility trends have been updated in our budget, as well as any planned technology replacement or updates that is also factored in our budget, as well as any spend down of any of the one-time funds that is over the course of the next few years. Okay, so we focused mainly on our current year budget, but we also have to take a look at how the current year budget impacts the future years as well. And the so on this slide, we'll first look at the detail of the multi-year, and then we'll look at the actual multi-year on the next slide. And we've updated the COLAs in the future year to reflect the current estimates as of this time period. And we've also updated any changes to expenses, because that also has a direct impact to our budget, such as any temporary reductions due to declining enrollment, or any plan reductions that have already been approved have now been factored into our multi-year budget. Okay, so now we'll take a look at how that has now, all of the information that we've reviewed, how that now impacts the budget. So I'll walk through a few different items. The first being the change in the COLA has now been updated to reflect the current estimate in the 25-26 and the out years. And then we also take a look to see if there's been any major changes in our revenues and expenses that impact our net increase or decrease. And we continue to monitor this and make updates as new assumptions become available. And then we also take a look at our ending fund balance and take into account any set-asides that we have for our school site carryovers to make sure that is accounted for in the current and the out years. And then lastly, we're required to meet the 3% minimum reserve, and we do in the current and the subsequent out year. So we're in compliance with that piece of it, which is about $13.9 million in the current year and a little over $12 million in the subsequent years. And then now we'll take a look at the restricted side of the budget. So this side of the budget houses a lot of our one-time funds that we saw on the prior slide. And as you can see on the net decrease, we're purposefully spending down those one-time funds over a multi-year period. And our restricted side of the budget doesn't just include any one-time sources. It also includes some of our larger programs, such as our routine restricted maintenance, which is really for our facilities programs, our special education, our Title I program, and our after-school ELOP program, just to name a few. And on the restricted side, the budget should always be either a positive or a net zero, so then we know the programs are sustaining themselves. And we do have a net positive balance on our restricted side. Okay, lastly, we'll take a look at, before I hand it back over to Mr. Hillman to walk us through the future of our budget, we have other funds that directly either impact our student or our operations. So we do want to highlight a few of them. The first cluster being our Child Development Fund, which is really geared for our preschool students, and as well as our Food and Nutrition Program, which serves healthy meals for our students. And both programs have a positive ending fund balance. And then we also have a set aside for any, if we have any textbook adoptions or if we have any textbook adoptions or our retiree health obligations, we have funding set aside for that, as well as any current or future obligations, such as our property and liability program or our workers' comp program. And the last set is mainly dedicated for our facilities. So our wonderful project that we have at Vina Dinks is being paid for through our Measure K funding, and that's been factored into our budget, as well as any other facility funds that we get, such as developer fees or for our general facilities needs and our special reserve fund. We have accounted for that in these various funds. So now I'm going to hand it back over to Mr. Hillman to walk us through the future of our budget.
Just to touch on a couple of things going forward. So as we look at that COLA, we've, as Vanessa stated, we've projected next year at 2.43. But It won't get decided until the final piece of data comes in later this month. And when it does, then we'll know what the statutory COLA is. As you can see on the slide, there's a range of projections. The governor projected it at 2.43, the LAO at 2.46. Others are projected as 2.2. So I think it's safe to say the COLA will come in somewhere between 2 and 2.5. See me later, and we'll see how I did. But so we keep an eye on that very closely, on what that COLA is going to be, and we will update our projections for the budget when those numbers actually come in. This is a similar slide to what you just saw. It's a little more looking into the crystal ball because we do not have final numbers yet. But you can see in the upper left corner there, in July of 2022, the COLA for next year was projected at 3.72. And it has shrunk now down to 2.43 in the latest estimates. So as we go through and use these assumptions, we build these into our multi-year projections. So our projections go up and down based on these projected COLAs. And I just wanted to give you an idea that there is a bit of crystal balling going on in our office to try to figure out, okay, where is the state going to land on the COLA? And this last slide just shows you the impact of declining enrollment. And I say that because it starts with the 2.43 COLA, which would increase our revenues by about $6 million. But then because of declining enrollment, it drops it by about 7. So rather than get an additional 2.43% in revenue, we actually get less revenue than we did the prior year. So that is the impact of declining enrollment. By the way, the declining enrollment, just wanted to comment real quick, it is based on birth rates. I mean, that is the primary thing. The birth rates that we see from 5 years ago now become kindergartners, of course. They just are lower than they've been historically. And so we've seen that trend for at least 10 or 15 years now. So when you saw that chart on lower enrollment at the district level, it is highly dependent on those birth rates, which are lower historically. So just wanted to make that final comment. And with that, I have just two other things. One, just wanted to say thank you to Vanessa and the fiscal services staff for the heavy lifting and preparing this report. A lot goes into this report behind the scenes, and appreciate their efforts. And with that, I'll take questions as well.
Thank you, Phil and Vanessa. We'll start with Flora.
Like always, thank you guys for all your work. Great presentation. I know there's fear factors still, in the air that are going to go ahead and change these numbers. So we'll just wait and see.
Thank you. Chris?
Thank you, Vanessa, and your team, and Phil. Thank you.
And Ms. Sonia?
Thank you for all your work, your team. Thank your team for everything. I just had a quick question on page 16, I think it was. There's an asterisk by the last box on the bottom. Mm-hmm. I didn't see an asterisk on the presentation.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Actually, what that is, those are funds that are not held at the county treasury. So the majority of our funds are held at the county treasury. These are actually held outside of the county treasury with the PARS trust account. So it's an entity that you can put money in for specific purposes. And that asterisk designates that it is not all sitting in the county treasury. Vanessa, do you have anything to add on that?
Correct. No.
And we'll make that designation for the next time we present this slide. Thanks for pointing that out.
Thank you.
Ms. Sarah?
Vanessa, thank you so much. I saw that you were in the crystal ball today.
Yes.
So
that's
twice that we've seen you there. Phil, thank you so much for bringing up the ADA and everything, because we just have to keep reiterating that we've had this long landing with COVID and with the funding coming before from the federal government and the different things like that we're using, that we have really just had this very long runway to try to keep planning and keep ahead of all of this stuff that we're doing. And our kids are just, we have a lot of great programs here at OMSD, and it's all of us that are handling it. So thank you and your team for help keeping us going. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Phil or Vanessa, is it from the last report to this report, is this like the smallest change or the least amount of change out of the whole year from this report from the last?
Well, I would say this one has, are you talking about the financials?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it is a little larger this year. And the reason why is because of some of the actions taken by the board recently in the staff reductions. We're actually right-sizing our teaching staff because of declining enrollment, among right. other things. And so it's a little more dramatic, the first interim to second interim, because of those actions taken in February.
Well, in regard to the COLA.
Oh, in regard to the COLA, actually, it is a little bit steadier than we've seen in the
yeah,
past in
it
some
ways. It didn't move
yeah.
very much, right?
Yeah.
It's like it beep, barely
yeah.
moved
just a
at
blip.
All.
Just a blip.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I know what we did. I just wonder if the governor knows what he's doing. So, okay. Dr. Hammond, thank you. I should have been a little more direct on that question.
Thank you, Mr. Hillman, Vanessa, for the presentation. Just three quick comments or questions. I want to toggle between page 5 and 19, just because it's 1 year to the out year. So on page 5, because I think sometimes the misnomer on COLA is that it's additional money to the district, when in actuality it has to be balanced with other factors. So it was a pretty nominal COLA for the current year, just a hair under $3 million. But we declined close to 750 kids and compound that with other costs. And it doesn't take into account anything that relates to bargaining, whether it's on the salary side or benefit contributions. We actually had a net change in a deficit, right?
Correct.
So that's for this year. So go to page 19 on that forecast for next year. It's really the same trend line, right, as far as why we want to have the funds and the reserves, because really it possibly, depending on where the COLA does land, we're forecasting it at 2.43. It is another probably negative year, right, as far as net revenue.
Particularly if it comes in closer to the 2.2, I'm thinking it might. So, yes, you're
yeah.
absolutely right.
And this is one of those rare years where the LAO, I don't recall when I've ever seen this, the LAO has a tad higher COLA than the governor's project. Usually the LAO, I mean, usually the governor is a little more optimistic with his forecasting, and the LAO is the more pragmatic, neutral entity, right? But this year he's a tad higher, which is unusual.
Absolutely. I think he was being a little bit conservative, which is a little surprising. Like you say, he's a little more aggressive on his revenue stance usually.
Or maybe he's packing his powder for May. I don't know. So at least in my last question, just basically, since you're in the crystal ball there, Vanessa, and yeah. Phil's been in that crystal ball, tax revenues, receipts, are they coming in at projection? Are we, we're still two more months, obviously, from the May revise, but as far as how we currently feel compared to January, do we think May will be a little better, about even, or possibly not as good?
I think a bit better from the original projections. Revenues are coming in a little bit better. I think there is a little uncertainty with the LA fires on how that's going to impact the economy as a whole. So we're cautiously optimistic there is going to be additional revenue above and beyond the COLA that will be allocated to K-12s.
In regards to the LA fires, you mean as far as reporting, they get a an extension to file, therefore the reporting won't be timely?
But yeah, that the timing aspect is absolutely part of it, and also just the general economic downturn won't create as many dollars for the state, sales tax, income tax, etc.
Okay. Thank you. Well done.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you both, and please pass along your thanks to your team.
Absolutely.
To the fiscal team. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Okay, now we move on to the Section F, public comments by attendees. This is inclusive of OMTA, CSEA, parent groups, individual staff, students, families, business partners, public agencies, nonprofit groups, and other members of the public. And our first speaker tonight is Philip Costas.
Good evening, Superintendent Hammond, President Rivas, trustees, and staff. My name is Philip Costas, and I am an educational specialist in my 27th year, and I have two children that go to local schools. I live in Area 1 of this school district, and would very much like to meet with my trustee, Ms. Flora Martinez, at a convenient time for both of us. I'm going to read an excerpt from the book entitled Speak, page 186, written by Lori Halls Anderson, which is in circulation at Serrano Middle School Library, and I did verify that today. I must express my deep concern about its suitability for our young students. What's the name of that drug they give perverts so they can't get it up? Dipro something. He should get it every morning in his orange juice. I went out with him to the movies. He tried to get his hands down my pants during the previews. I won't read anything else. This book, entitled Speak, deals with themes of sexuality and rape, which are undeniably adult in nature. The graphic depiction of these sensitive topics can be overwhelming and harmful to the impressionable minds of middle school students. It is your responsibility as school board members to ensure that the materials provided are age appropriate and conducive to a safe and supportive learning environment. The explicit content in Speak is pornographic for this age group, and I believe is in violation of Penal Code 311-2, which expresses that possessing, transporting, or duplicating obscene material with the intent to distribute or show it to others. This is a crime, and the penalties vary depending on the circumstances. This does expose students to mature themes, and these students are not emotionally or psychologically prepared to handle these themes. As board members, you have the authority and responsibility to review and approve the materials used in our schools. It is imperative that we prioritize the well-being of our students and remove books that contain adult-themed content from the middle school curriculum. By doing so, we can create a learning environment that is both safe and supportive, allowing our students to thrive academically and emotionally. I am in possession of a list of 14 books that are deemed inappropriate for a K-8 school district. Each one of you board members can look up your school district, OMSD, on takebacktheclassroom.com. Look up OMSD and find that there are at least 14 pornographic in nature books at your school libraries. This, again, is unacceptable. In conclusion, I urge you to take immediate action to remove Speak and the 13 other similar books from the middle school libraries and other school libraries here. Let us work together to ensure that our students are provided with age-appropriate materials that foster a positive and healthy educational experience. Let's remember we are 40th in the world academically, and we're in the bottom 10% in the nation. Please, let's get to teaching and let the parents raise and influence their children. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mr. Costas. Our next speaker is Connie Downs.
Good evening, Superintendent Hammond, President Rios, board trustees and staff. I stand before you tonight in strong support of policies that honor and promote respect for the American flag within our schools. These policies are not merely ceremonial. They reflect deeply rooted values of patriotism, respect, and unity as affirmed by the California Education Code. Under Education Code 52720, it is required that schools conduct daily patriotic exercises such as the Pledge of Allegiance. This practice serves as a reminder to students and staff of our shared commitment to the principles of freedom, justice, and democracy that the flag represents. By reciting the pledge, we instill in our youth a sense of gratitude for the rights that they enjoy as citizens, for those who have sacrificed to protect those rights. It also fosters a sense of belonging and unity, bringing together individuals from diverse backgrounds under one flag and one nation. Further, Education Code 38117 highlights the importance of displaying the American flag on school grounds during school hours. This requirement ensures that the flag, as a powerful symbol of our national identity, is prominently visible, inspiring respect and mindfulness in the hearts of students and the broader school community. This code underscores the belief that schools are more than institutions of learning. They are also places where civic responsibility is nurtured and national pride is celebrated. Critically, these policies do not impose conformity, but uphold the right of individuals to engage or abstain based on personal beliefs as protected by the Constitution. This balance between patriotic tradition and individual freedom exemplifies the very principles the flag stands for. By maintaining and supporting these policies, we affirm our commitment to educating responsible citizens who understand and appreciate the significance of our national symbols. In a world that often feels divided, the flag serves as a reminder of the common values that unite us as Americans. Let us continue to support the presence of the flag and the practice of the pledge in our schools. These acts may seem small, but they carry profound meaning for our students, our communities, and our nation. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Crystal Ordorica.
Hi, My name is Crystal Larica. I'm a special education teacher at Lincoln Elementary School. I've worked there for, about 9 years or so. I feel like I've been there forever. I started as a special needs paraprofessional assistant substitute, and then I worked my way up to become a substitute teacher, and then I got hired by Bill at Lincoln 1 year. And so I came here to kind of talk to you guys about what's happening in my classroom. I feel like a lot of times we don't know what's happening in our classes. So I have a TK to kinder classroom at Lincoln Elementary School. And we're currently working on implementing and pushing the new curriculum, unique learning system. And so in the beginning of the school year, you guys can imagine whenever we get a new curriculum, teachers are a little bit like, it's a little bit hard. It's, you know, our kids aren't there yet. So I work with a few members of I became a trainer of trainers with the support of my principal to kind of help ease the transition to this new curriculum to Lincoln. And I've been kind of pushing it in my TK to K class, so I do have things to share for you guys to see. But in the special education classroom, the extensive support needs classroom, otherwise formerly known as the moderate to severe classrooms, we work on differentiating, scaffolding, and making curriculum accessible to all kids, because regardless of age, they come to school and they are... My ideology is that they deserve to be exposed to academics, to curriculum. I went into this field because I wanted to help kids at least be exposed. I understand that there are certain things that are maybe beyond their cognitive ability, but I do feel that exposure is a start for a lot of our kids. And if we don't expose them, then we'll never know what they can do in the future. So I've taken some of the curriculum and I've made folders and I can share them so you guys can't. These are things that we do in centers every day. And so, for instance, today we worked on some of the vocabulary. I had kids match I have my own board maker license that I pay for, and so I make these wonderful activities for the kids as supplemental activities so they can participate and learn. And I'm not gonna lie, initially I thought this might be a little bit too high for my kids, but today working with them, I was pleasantly surprised that they were actually taking some of those cards, looking for the cards, and matching it directly on. So it just showed me that I'm in the right direction with pushing academics, pushing kids to see what they know, what they don't know, and continuously trying to scaffold information to them. And I do use these daily, so if you guys would like to see them, I can collect them afterwards. And then,
can't keep them.
Well, a lot of these I created over the summer to prepare for, we had a training from some of the schools, August, I remember, it was before school started, and they asked me to help support some of the TOAs with this presentation, and so I was working with them throughout the summer to, like, present this information to the teachers, and I had this material out for them so they can see how they can make the curriculum more accessible if it was a little bit too hard, so mm-hmm. we can differentiate. But I also have samples from kids in my class. We work on fine motors, things that are related to our activities. High frequency words is something that a lot of teachers are saying, well, my kids don't do high frequency words. It's too difficult, it's too high, but I like to start with the basics. Let's focus on the letters. Let's focus on matching and building the word. So things like that. I kind of add supplemental activities like long A vowels so they can work on a craft attached. Is my time up?
Yeah.
All right. But I do have things to show you as well because I do it with the Gen Ed curriculum intervention as well.
All right. You're amazing. All right. Leave the stuff with Ms. Irma. We'll take a look after. Thank you. Okay. Our next speaker is Tracy Lee Taylor. I haven't heard from you in a minute. Come on down.
You missed me, right?
I do.
So greetings, everyone. My name is Tracy Taylor. I'm president of Ontario Montclair Teachers Association. Good evening, President.
We need to fix that. Ryan, can you fix that?
Rivas?
That
school board?
Yeah, if you want to use the other podium, maybe. Tracy, because that microphone seems to be tired. It's just going like this.
Superintendent Hammond and the cabinet. I'm here because I have, in the last few months, have had the occasion to meet with many teachers, a handful of teachers, with principals and or HR, because they made mistakes, or watch them do that, I'll wait. When we work with kids, we're supposed to give them this progressive discipline thing. We're supposed to work with them first and then move on to a write-up and then move on to something more serious, as was discussed with, you know, what ends up being the SOAR program. Hopefully teachers don't need to end up there. But I found that the first time teachers get written up, in many cases, the principal insists that it goes in their personnel file. If a teacher has made enough mistakes that this first write-up needs to go in their personnel file, maybe the principal should have given them their write-up warning sooner, because we're entitled to progressive discipline as well. And maybe we just don't listen when we're told, but maybe we were not given the chance to get better. And maybe what we're doing is just different than the way the principal would have done it. There's a lot of things going on there. But I've had a lot of teachers come to me because they're not only being written up for something they didn't understand was wrong, but what is happening is a write-up goes in their personnel file, and that traumatizes them. We talk about trauma for kids. Teachers are really trying to do their best. We don't always make it, but we try to do our best. And a couple of years ago, one teacher put his hand on a kid's shoulder to say, good job. And the kid said, ooh, it creeped me out. So he got written up. It went in his personnel file. I'm not sure how he was supposed to know it was going to creep her out. I feel like we need to work with each other better. Admin and teachers need to work with each other better. And I don't claim that we are blameless. But I feel like there's a lot of admin in the district who, I mean, I was told last week, HR told me I'm the one who gets to decide if it goes in the personnel file. It's like, I get it. And I was told, you don't have to agree with me. I get that too. I don't really have any choice in the matter. I'm just asking you, could we keep this first write-up about something that may or may not have been even a big deal as something between you and the teacher? If they don't get better after this, of course it goes in the personnel file. But let's give teachers a chance like we're supposed to give kids a chance. And I'm going to probably run out of time and I'll stop talking, but 41 years ago, there was this kid who started teaching in the district, actually started bus driving, but then became a teacher. One day, she was teaching her first year, and she had this third grade kid. Great kid, great teacher, by the way, but the kid was just not getting it, and the teacher got frustrated, and she snapped at the kid. And just at that moment, the principal walked in the door. It just so happened there was a door on this side of the room, too, and the principal got this goofy grin on his face and walked straight out the other door. And the teacher was shamed. The teacher got it. She shouldn't have snapped at the kid. It was bad timing, but she was caught. She shouldn't have done it. So she walked up to the office at lunch and walked into the principal's office, and he started laughing. He said, having a bad day? To which she said, I'm sorry. Anyway, I didn't need to be written up. I knew I made a mistake, and I believe that most young teachers will get it if a principal talks to them. The principals who have told me, I've talked to them over and over, maybe the write-up should have started sooner. Maybe the actual written down, this is it, this is your notice, needs to start sooner so that they have that chance to get better before it goes in their personnel file, because that is a trauma that teachers have a hard time with because you've been taken down. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tracy. Ms. Regina Delphine.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My name is Regina Delphine. I'm currently a special education teacher at Lincoln Elementary. I love my job, and I have committed to the profession going on 20 years. I'm speaking tonight to address something dear to my heart and to others at my site. Recently, our school announced our Employee of the Year. Our school site selected a certified and classified employee. I was happy and congratulated the winners. I have always found it important to recognize the contributions and hard work of staff. However, I reflected on the current Employee of the Year selection process and thought about how our school community could further acknowledge the contributions of other employees who have shown great work ethic and deep commitment to students and families, and who have been agents of change at our school. For example, I, as a special educator, witnessed the care and commitment that other special education teachers at my school site show and give to students and families. I have witnessed colleagues advocate for students, celebrate their students' milestones, advocate for the needs of families, translate in various languages for families, make families feel welcomed, recognize and respond to the family's social needs, understand and connect with families on a cultural and social level, provide mentorship to families, and full inclusion of students with disabilities. I'm sorry, provide mentorship to families and created more inclusive opportunities for students with disabilities, such as pushing the full inclusion of students with disabilities in the sixth grade camping overnight trip, and have students with disabilities participate in the annual talent show. Special education teachers do this while simultaneously educating students. These skills that I witness in my colleagues are ones that should be acknowledged and celebrated. The current Employee of the Year selection process hinders that possibility. The current process selects only two staff members and is selected by past award winners. The selection committees may not be aware of all these skills that others have, especially special education teachers, who have a lot of work to do and have so many and have to meet so many needs, more than most teachers. To share some data, in the past 8 years, we've had two special education teachers on assignment get Employee of the Year in 21 and 22, and 24 and 25. Two SNPAs, only one from the classroom. The other one was an office position. Compared to the six general educators, one being another teacher on assignment. I offer the following solution to the current Employee of the Year selection process. Electing one general educator and one education specialist, two special needs paraprofessionals, and one classified employee from departments such as custodial, clerical, noonades, proctors, mentors, so on. Being that Lincoln is the largest staff population in Ontario Montclair School District. My solution is not perfect, but I'm interested in opening this up for further discussion. Our current Employee of the Year selection process does not need to reflect the diverse skills that SPED teachers, special education teachers possess. The current Employee of the Year selection process does not make space for those whose skills are not yet acknowledged, but highly impactful and needed. Acknowledging these skills is also a reflection of the values we hold close to our hearts in education and skills that we prioritize in this profession. The Employee of the Year is a tool that should promote high work morale and affirm the work teachers are doing and other school employees. But it has yet to do that for teachers and other staff who do some of the most intense, complex, and meaningful work. This is a solution I propose that may be beneficial at my school site and possibly other schools. Employee of the Year selection process can be expanded to schools as needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Jenny Link.
Is that a Link or Lino?
Was that a C at the end?
Luna.
Oh.
You.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jenny Luna. I come as a parent tonight. My son, his name is Ian Luna. He is a student at Lincoln Elementary. And I just want to come up here. I don't think our teachers get enough praise, and I have a little sample of kind of where my son started this year. My request or one of his goals for his IEP was that he learned his name and he learned to write his name. This is where we started in the beginning of the year, maybe a little hard to see. It got a little bit smaller and smaller, and this is himself now. He is writing his last name, first and last name, with a verbal prompt. I'm put in a very special place because I am a parent of a special needs student, as I also work as an SMPA there at Lincoln. And I don't think our teachers there get enough praise. I'm lucky enough to work side by side by Miss Crystal. And just the effort, the work that she puts there, and she's not the only teacher that puts so much effort and work there. Miss Regina is Ian's teacher, and, you know, I can't speak. I speak the world of them, so I felt like tonight was the night for me to come out and just express my gratitude towards Miss Regina, Miss Crystal, and all the other teachers that I get to work side by side and learn from. So it's a very special place for me because I am a mom, and just the growth that my son has done over the last 2 years really is mind-blowing. And I would just, you know, maybe like to propose they get a lunch or they get a, you know, something so simple, but I know it goes a long way, and I try to do, you know, what I can for the teachers that have been my son's teachers. But I felt like tonight I just wanted to share a little bit of the hard work that is getting put into my son's education, and not just him, all of our other students that are at Lincoln. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Luna. Our next speaker is Roxana Gracia.
They removed the microphone because I was going to go that one.
Right.
My name is Roxana Gracia, and I'm the district director for Assemblymember Michelle Rodriguez. I wanted to say hello to the board, to the superintendent, to the staff here present, and I'm really enjoying coming to these meetings, and I'm really learning a lot, and how incredible your faculty and your staff, and to learn even about like the revenue and stuff. So I'm taking lots of notes and definitely going to pass the word on to our assembly member that what the great work that this school district is doing. I also wanted to come up here, and I'll keep it short, but we are hosting a virtual workshop for tax. It's tax season, it's coming to a close. So we are teaming up with Golden State Opportunity. They are a nonprofit, and they work with working families. If you make under $32,000 a year, you're eligible for the earned income tax credit. And if you have children, you have additional credits on the table. And there's also going to be information about VITA tax preparation. So if you make under $67,000 a year, you can get your taxes done for free. And I don't think a lot of our community members know that. I had a senior call our office a couple weeks ago just being like, hey, I have nowhere else to turn. I have no money and I need to get my taxes done. I was like, do you make less than $67,000 a year? And I won't, you know, I'm not collecting this information or anything. And he's like, I do. And I'm like, oh, well, here, there's this IRS funded website that you can plug your address in. And, you know, it'll pop up the locations near you where you can file your taxes for free. You make an appointment. It's very easy. So we are hosting this event on March 27th. It's a virtual event. The link where you can sign up to get the Zoom link is bit.ly, and that's bit.ly/taxtalk2025. I left some flyers up in the front if anyone is interested in taking some, and also I will be sending it over so that you can distribute it to your families. We want to make sure that we are alleviating or assisting our families as much as possible to get as much money back in this tax season, and always willing to be here and to work with the school district. So thank you so much for all your hard work, everyone here today, and you have a great rest of your night.
Thank you, Roxana. Super cute glasses. And last but not least, Mr. Glenn Wong. How you doing, Glenn?
Good
to see you.
A lot better. Thank you. Good seeing you. And happy birthday again. Good evening, President Rivas, Dr. Hammond, Board of Trustees, Cabinet Member, and OMSD family. It has been a trying 7 months for my family and a very traumatic time for my dad. Last July, my dad was grimly diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer that spread to his brain. He needed two major brain surgery and was in the hospital for 45 days. After the surgery, he lost most of his bodily function. There were different critical moments where my dad could have died. The healthcare provider had to monitor and care for him 24/7. Our family member took turns staying at his bedside to support him. On many occasions, my dad wanted to give up because he thought he had become a useless person, a burden to our family. We told him he would never be a useless human being or a burden to us. We promised him we will do whatever is needed to get him the best medical care. Our family assured my dad repeatedly that yes, it's a lot of work for everyone, but it's our honor and privilege for us to care and love him. We encourage him to be positive, just focus on rehab. And rehab he did. Thankfully, I can now joyously report my dad is out of the hospital and going through outpatient immunotherapy, and God willing, on his way to a miraculous and full recovery. Now I want to take this opportunity to give a big thank you to my Viner family, especially my principal, Danae, for the prayer and the compassionate support. I also want to thank Dr. Hammond for your just encouraging word and prayer for my dad and me. My dad's spirit was uplifted when I told him the highest ranking leader in our district was suggesting a rehab center for him and was concerned about his well-being. I appreciate you. But as I reflect on how my family pulled together to support and love my dad, I see the parallel of our district family doing the same thing for each of our precious students. We at OMSD devotedly do whatever it takes to make sure our student can be healthy and successful in life. We see each student as a special human being. We make sure our students know their equality to every human being and that they deserve to live the American dream. OMSD created the most comprehensive educational program to help them fulfill their potential. Our presence is with them year-round so we can meet the many needs of our students and their family. It's in our OMSD family's DNA to do not just to educate them, but to love on our students in authentic relationship. We also understand some of our students can be difficult at times and try a patient, but we never give up on them. Instead, we provide SEL, PBIS, MTSS, ALC, and SOAR, and many other appropriate intervention and natural consequence to help a student to get back on track. Borrowing a term from Dr. Hughes Hunter's use, we major in our at-risk student to authentic relationship. Tailor design IEP for them officially or unofficially. Teach them coping strategy and create a behavior plan with them so they have the roadmap to function successfully in school life. Yes, that's what we do in OMSD. We don't ever see any of our students as a burden, but we see every interaction as our honor and privilege to service and teach them. Because our students are our greatest mission and they are our commitment and our future. In my opinion, there's no greater mission than to pour all that's good into another human being. And that's exactly what OMSD does with our students. We commit all our human and educational resources to empower them. We know we cannot live our students' life for them, just like I can't do rehab for my dad. However, when our students choose to apply all the goodness we offer them, I have no doubt, and I'm confident we have no doubt, that they will be emotionally, ethically, and mentally prepared to be successful in their higher education, career, and life. I'm so proud of our OMSD family. Let's continue to do what we do best. Let's continue to fulfill our greatest mission, equipping our students to better themselves and a global society. God bless and good night.
You're a good man, Glenn Wong. Ms. Irma, do we have any more yellow slips? Thank you, Ms. Irma. Moving on to Section G, Consent Calendar, seeking a motion.
I move.
Is there a second? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Want to highlight C3, adoption of resolution 2024-2587, recognizing the 2024-2025 classified and certificated employees of the year. C4, adoption of resolution 2024-2588, recognizing April 22nd of 2025 as California School Bus Driver Appreciation Day. And C5, adoption of the resolution 2024-2589, recognizing April 28th through May 2nd of 2025 as School Nutrition Employees Week. Moving on to Section H, Discussion, Action, Public Hearing Items. H1, annual update of the Ontario Montclair School District Transportation Plan. Seeking a motion?
I move.
Oh, I think I heard Chris first. Who's second?
Sonia.
Sonia, second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to H2, under SELPA, an equity establishing the Student Outreach and Academic Renaissance Academy as a new alternative school of choice within the Ontario Montclair School District, and authorize staff to file the appropriate application with the California Department of Education and take all necessary steps to ensure that the SOAR Academy meets the necessary requirements of the, under California Education Code 58500-58512, and the California Department of Education in order to open at the start of the 2025-2026 school year. Seeking a motion.
I move.
A second.
I second.
Ooh, a tie. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Got that one in the book, Ms. Irma? Thank you. Turning the page. H3, expansion of Euclid Elementary School grade levels from K through 6th grade to K through 8th grade, and change the official name of the school from Euclid Elementary to Euclid Language Academy within the Ontario Montclair School District, and authorize staff to file the appropriate application with the California Department of Education and take all necessary steps to ensure that the Euclid Language Academy meets the necessary requirements under California Education Code and the California Department of Education at the commencement of the 2025-2026 school year. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Second.
Second.
Oh, slow on that one. Mm-hmm. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Thank you for that, ladies. Moving on to H4, under Human Resources, Memorandum of Understanding between the Ontario Montclair School District and the Ontario Montclair Teachers Association for a third day of preparatory period for professional learning communities at elementary schools. Seeking a motion.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. H5, vote for up to 5 candidates listed for the California School Boards Association 2025 Delegate Assembly election ballot for the 2025 CSBA Delegate Assembly vacancies in Region 16B. Does anyone have a motion to present?
No. I'll move for Ronald Newton from Mountain View. Maria Gomez from Hesperia.
Uh-huh.
Eric Swanson from Hesperia.
Uh-huh.
Alan Williams from Victorville.
That's 4. You need one more.
And Kathy Thompson from Central.
Okay, there's a motion for Maria Gomez, Ronald Newton, Eric Swanson, Alan Williams, and Kathy Thompson. Is there a second? I'll second her motion. Any discussion? Then I'll go ahead and call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone say no? Anybody abstaining from that?
Aye.
Okay, one abstention. You got that, Irma? Thank you. Moving on to H6. 2024-2025 second interim financial report with a positive certification. Seeking a motion?
I move.
I need a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? Okie dokie, in the book. H7, first reading of the board policies, administrative regulations, board bylaws, and exhibits as listed. Additional supporting information available under separate cover. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Need a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 It's like the sound of music. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving to section I, call out of closed session actions. Dr. Hammond, what say you?
Madam President, there are no items to report.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to section J, comments and recommendations by the Board of Trustees. I will start with Chris Brake.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Read Across America was wonderful. Some of us were at Sultana, some of us were at Lehigh. I had the pleasure of presenting Mr. Gormaz from Edison School, $5,000 for reading the for winning the Accelerator Reader Program that they had, the contest, which is that they're going to buy library books, which I thought was pretty appropriate. Alice in Wonderland at Vernon was amazing, as their productions always are. And I enjoyed the Rotary Club and looking forward to the Kiwanis tomorrow. So, and special ed on Saturday. We'll hope for good weather.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chris.
And happy birthday to Elvia.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Love you. Flora?
I just want to thank everybody for speaking tonight. It's been a while since we've had that many comments, so I appreciate everyone's feedback and what everybody had to say. Thank you, Lincoln, for coming out. I know that your work is hard, to say the least. I can't express how much I appreciate all your passion that you devote to our students. So hopefully I can go ahead and visit your site and just see what, you know, all your efforts in action. So thank you. And that's it. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Flora. Ms. Sarah Galvez.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I really do appreciate when you come and you show us all of the great things that you're doing in your classroom. So thank you so much for that. And we will look through it and then we will hand it back to you, okay? Because you are going to need it for tomorrow. And then I just want to echo my fellow trustees. Alice in Wonderland was great. Here at OMSD, we have a range of things that we do with our students that just couldn't be done without everybody here and everybody at the school site every day and our parents, because we had a lot of shout outs to parents for the Alice in Wonderland, for costumes and for getting them there and for practices, and parents that she brought back and are holding hostage, which I think she's holding them hostage at the school site. She's just throwing them in the closet.
She keeps them there.
And alumni. So we are just amazing at OMSD because we have that energy of community. And I just really appreciate that. And I appreciate our parents talking about our teachers and everything. And I can't wait to see SOAR grow. I think that it's going to be great. I loved everything that you said during your presentation about focusing on the student and coming back and doing meetings and the way that you're keeping it, scaling it, you know, so that it's not overwhelming and everything just sounded wonderful. So thank you so much for being there every day.
Ms. Sonia?
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming out. And I think this is our largest audience in a while. Thank you, guys. As everybody, my fellow colleagues, I've been to Alice in Wonderland Junior. It was amazing. Kids were wonderful. Our parents, I mean, they are superstars. They were signing autographs, taking pictures, and they were loving it. So I loved it. So shout out to our schools for doing that. I had gone to the musical Cat in the Hat at Serrano as well, and that was also impressive by our kids, being able to just dance and sing and remember all their parts. So thank you. Student of the Month. We've been to Student of the Month. Reading Across America, it was great to be at Sultana. Reading to the kids, I read for my son's previous classroom, and they all remembered me as Miguel's mom.
This is who you are.
Gave me a shout. They gave him a shout out, so it was nice to go out there and read to them. And our fourth graders out at Lehigh. And what else? What are we doing? Games, you know, sports. Weekends, they were amazing. My son's in the OMSD soccer club, and they, you know, they were great last weekend. Hopefully they have another good weekend. They were 10-0, so That's great for them. And I know we have a lot of sports going on, so, you know, look at our websites, look at, follow our schools, and if you guys want to see a great sport, go out there. We have a lot of great events going on for our kids and our parents, and you'll be out there and they're amazed. So I know that our kids are doing and growing every single day at school academically and engaging into their sports and after school extracurricular activities. So thank you guys. We couldn't do any of this without all our support from all our staff, teachers. So thank you everybody for being on board, for being positive, and you know, our 34th school, that's amazing. And I know that our kids, they're great kids. They just have some challenges, and I'm glad that we are going to have specialists in that area to give them the support they need to be able to be successful adults in society. And you know what? I'll be glad to be, you know, that we were part of that, that we were able to make sure we changed their life to be positive. And you know, I'm pretty sure we have a parent component in there as well, our parent center. I took the Love and Logic series workshops with our parent center. So, you know, you get new tools each time you take a class, you learn. I love taking those classes because they always give you new tools to work with. I love the one, you know, I tell my kids now, you know, I love you too much to argue. So they said, what? I said, I love you too much to argue. They turn around and say, okay. So we always get tools. So I hope you guys encourage and take advantage of the offer, the classes that our parent center has to offer, and keep bringing those to your school sites as well. Thank you, and you guys have a great evening, and happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy birthday, Elvia. Hopefully we get invited to the party.
I hope you're throwing me one.
Enjoy, guys. Thank you.
Let you know. I'll start off by thanking Ontario PD for being here tonight and our campus safety. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies, for keeping us safe and yeah, just looking out for everyone as you do. We appreciate you very much. I, too, was able to attend Alice in Wonderland on Saturday, and I was very overjoyed to have my daughter Marie attend with me with my grandson Malcolm. We call him Mackie, or Big Mac. He's a very big two-year-old. But we didn't know how a two-year-old would do at a production like that, right? And so we just thought, okay, we'll see how he does. He sat through the entire thing. The entire production, I mean, he was like this the entire time. And I mean, he understood what was going on, and he loved it, and they were singing right in front of him and dancing. And yeah, we thought, well, you know, if he peters out like halfway through with intermission, we'll go home. We'll just, you know, he gave it his best shot. No, he wanted to go back in and watch the second half, and he did, and he absolutely loved it. And so Marie was overjoyed because she just thought, wow, this is a cool kid. And he is a cool kid. And he went out and ran around with the other kids out there. And, yeah, he really had a good time. And my daughter was very impressed because she's used to, you know, the Chafee Productions. You know how great Chafee does with their theater. And so she said, I cannot believe the level, the caliber of talent that these kids have at this young age. She said, this is elementary and junior high, right? And I said, you're sounding old calling it junior high. But she was middle school when she went to Vina, too. But yeah, no, it was she was floored by the production, and it really was something to behold. So our kids are really something. Saturday's field day at Chafee, right? So we're going to go there and participate. Chris, you're going to be there? Yeah, we're going to be there together. That's right. All right. And then we're honoring our Employees of the Year. Is it next week? April 1st. April 1st, yeah. Okay, so yeah, be there too. I'm trying to make as many events as I can. My probation is almost over. Remember I told you last year, it's going to be a year. And Tracy, what did you say to me? How long is a teacher's probation? Right. You're like, oh. Teacher probation is 2 years. Like, be quiet, Elvia. Ours is longer. Well, mine is a year, but it's almost over. So I think they might keep me. Fingers crossed. So I think it's over at the end of this month. So I'm hoping it is, and that way I can
you know, break out and ask for time to attend more things. So that's my intention. So I'll let you guys know how it goes at the end of the month. Okay, Dr. Hammond, it's all you.
I think Trustee Alvarado forgot one more item, Madam President.
I have to give a shout out to our Euclid Elementary School becoming a Euclid Language Academy, so that'll make three in our district now.
Yes. That's awesome.
And I just want to add, guys, let's recruit. Let's recruit more students from out of district into our district. We have so many schools with different distinctions. And let's make sure our student doesn't go declining enrollment. Help us get it up again. So I know enrollment is starting for preschool, language academies, everything. So help
summer
us
school
summer
for
school.
Us. We
thank
want,
you.
We want you for summer too.
All right. Okay, now Dr. Hammond.
Thank you, Madam President. And what was that, Ms. Alvarado? I love you too much to argue. Is that what they try to train? I'm going to remember that next time I meet with Chris Bray. When our next one-on-one
Thanks,
meeting?
So, yeah.
Put that on the whiteboard. But no, it's great. So a lot of exciting things happening. I know it's been a lengthy meeting. I'll try to be brief in my remarks because Chris needs to get to bed. But we do have something exciting happening at the Family Community Engagement Center under the leadership of both Dr. Hughes Hunter and her director, Jesse Arvizu. It's actually a partnership with Chino Valley's Chamber of Commerce, and so a three-day series of job preparation workshops. So on April 3rd, there will be a resume building class. April 10th, mock interviews and interview skills. And then April 17th, dress for success and professional presentation. What a wonderful series of workshops for our families and community members to take advantage of. So thank you, Dr. Hughes Hunter, and extend our gratitude to Ms. Arvizu as well for doing that. And as we are bragging a little bit about our classified and certificated staff, I think our student of the month presentation is testimony of just great students, great families, and it's really a team effort when you think of the classified support staff and the teachers that are all involved in the stories of the children who are presented at that student of the month, because it's not just the eighth grade teaching staff or classified folks, it's all those other grade levels that preceded the work there. And on a side note, we had a group of sixth graders take a special field trip to Cal Poly Pomona, a group of music students. So they were able to perform at Cal Poly Pomona on stage with college professors. And so that's a real feather in our hat for our music program. And not to be outdone, I believe we have our Director of Promise Scholars in the audience. We have our golf tournament coming up April 18th. That's going to be a big event. And so if you don't know much about it, look up our golf tournament. It supports the Promise Scholars Program. It's a worthwhile endeavor to support. So that wraps up my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hammond. Okay, which brings us to Section L, Information and Announcements. L1, Ontario Montclair School District Accountability Report Card, Triennial State District Template Comparison. Information item is out there. L2, 2024-25 Williams Second Quarter Uniform Complaint Report Summary. Information item. L3, 2024-25 Williams Second Quarter Finding Report. L4, School Facilities Program Proposition 51 Performance Audit for Euclid Elementary School, Central Language Academy, Serrano, and Wiltie Middle Schools. Information item. Additional information under separate cover. Ontario Montclair Professional Therapists Association recommended proposal for negotiations for the 2025-2028 successor agreement with Ontario Montclair School District. Information item. L6, Ontario Montclair District recommended proposal for negotiations for the 2025-28 successor agreement with the Ontario Montclair Professional Therapists Association. Information item. L7, California School Employees Association and Chapter 108 reopeners for the 2025-26 negotiations with Ontario Montclair School District. Information item. L8, Ontario Montclair School District reopeners for the 2025-26 negotiations with California School Employees Association with its Chapter 108. L9, Ontario Montclair Schools will be closed March 24th through the 28th, 2025, and district offices will be closed March 28th only of 2025 in observance with the spring recess. L10, any requests for future board items must have, blah, 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 blah. Any request for board consideration must be submitted in writing and meet the criteria as indicated in Board Bylaw 9322. L11, next regular board meeting will be April 3rd of 2025 at 6 p.m. Open session right here at Central Language Academy. Moving on to Section M, Adjournment. Seeking a motion.
I move.
Seeking a second.
I second.
Everyone at the dais and everyone in the room, say aye.
Aye.
Good night. Take care.